Well, somebody ought to praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Gloria a Dios. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know who said that, but hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. No, somebody really ought to praise him. Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Somebody just go ahead and shout something. Shout out. Hallelujah. 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 I know, Pastor, that the walls didn't come down because of the shout. I know that when the walls of Jericho, they shouted, and it wasn't, the Hebrew writer tells us that the walls came down by faith, but there's something about the shout. Hallelujah. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. Something about shouting, hallelujah, that just kind of excites our faith a little bit and causes us to have faith enough to see walls come down. Amen. And I hope you didn't come here today planning on Brother Harold, Brother Pastor, or Brother Steve marching around your wall for you. Come on. Amen. I hope you came here today believing God to move in your circumstance and to move in your family and to move in your life today in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. All the Pentecostals on Pentecost Sunday say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a delight to be here. It's a delight to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have my mother-in-law with me. Hallelujah. She keeps me in line most of the time. And it's good to have her here today. Her husband just passed away 3.5 weeks ago. And so she's with us this morning. But it's also good to have my wife here today. And I want her just to greet you and share whatever she may preach. I don't know. Whatever she wants to do this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 thank you, Jesus. Iborogorabanda masiko to bobosha barabondi bibiko to boboti. Come on, daughter. Iborogorabamamani. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? I like to stand when we read God's Word. I want to read a very familiar passage of Scripture to those who have been in church for any length of time, and especially the Pentecostals. It's a very powerful Scripture on this Pentecost Sunday, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14 and reading through verse 21. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21. Luke 4, 14. It's a delight to be here in this church that has been faithful to our ministry. We love your pastors, and we're excited to be with them today. We believe God has placed them and that they are generals worth following. Hallelujah. And you pray for your pastors. Amen. That was kind of weak. Do I need to preach on that? I can. How many of you pray for your pastors? Say amen. Hallelujah. There's never been a day like today, I don't believe, where pastors are under attack. A pastor was just arrested in Canada this week for preaching the gospel. And there's never been a day like this where ministry is under attack and the gospel of Jesus Christ is under assault. And we need to hold our pastors up. Amen? There you go. Try that again. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate your pastors. they are just a precious couple, and it's an honor for me to step into this pulpit and to preach this morning, and I believe God wants to do something powerful in our midst. How many of you came to receive something today? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. We'll receive it then. Don't wait on me. Hallelujah. 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 Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Woo. And there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. I don't need to stop there and preach, do I? I'm preaching to the choir, but anybody that's not here, you ought to tell them it ought to be your custom to be in the house of the Lord. But anyway, and there was delivered unto him, he stood up to read, there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened up the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Father, in Jesus' name. Fulfill your word today, God. Fulfill your scripture in this house today. I pray, God, that you would minister right now to every heart, that you would open up every heart to receive, that we would take the top off of our vessels and we would just receive the presence and the power and the anointing of your Spirit into our lives today, God. I pray, Father, that every need would be met, every heart would be touched, and no one would leave this building today without having a personal encounter with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Anoint me today, God. Anoint me to say everything you've placed in my heart. Anoint me to preach your word. Anoint the ears to hear and everyone to receive. And we're just going to give you praise for it in the name above every name, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Say it one more time. Well, why don't you say it loud enough to convince the neighbors? Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Is it all right if I come down here? Hallelujah. I like to walk and look at you and smell you. I mean, and spit on you a little bit or something. I don't know. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Here in our text, Luke chronicles the very earliest days of Christ's ministry. And I know this church knows this because it's a well-trained church, but we need to understand that when Luke is writing here, he's not just a pastor giving us a historical account, but he is literally, because he is moved on, as all the biblical writers were, by the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, he is giving us narrative theology. And so we need to pay attention to the theological side of what the history here of Christ's life is all about. And so Luke is telling us here that Jesus just came in the previous chapter from the River Jordan. He was just baptized in John in water, John the Baptist, and the Bible says, following subsequent to his water baptism, he comes up out of the water and he is baptized in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says that the Spirit of God descends upon him in bodily form like as of a dove, and the Father speaks from heaven. And we know that he was baptized in the Holy Ghost because it says at the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus being now full of the Holy Ghost. Same language that you read this morning that Luke used in the book of Acts when he talked about they were all filled with or full of the power and the anointing of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit himself. And the Bible says Jesus, there at the beginning of chapter 4, full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, there's a lot of people, man, that have kind of a weird image of Jesus out in the wilderness. Then they see this, you know, poor little Jesus. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's all weak and fragile, and you know, the mean old devil just comes and picks on him and comes at him because he's so weak and frail. And not My Bible says Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit. Matter of fact, I like, brother, the way Mark says it. Mark says he was driven by the Holy Ghost. He was compelled by the Spirit. You see, Pastor, I don't believe that the devil came looking for Jesus. I believe Jesus went looking for the devil. Come on. Hallelujah. And it's time for this generation to understand once again that our Savior is not weak, that our Savior is not knock-kneed, that our Savior is not faint-hearted, but He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the Lord God Almighty. He is all-powerful and omnipotent, and nothing is impossible for Him. Woo! Come on. It's time to reestablish the testimony of our God in this generation. Whew. And after He had conquered the devil, it says all the temptation of the enemy. Any temptation you're facing today, He's already conquered it. So, come on, no excuses. No excuse. Come on. He, in the power, it said, we read, of the Spirit, came to Galilee. First He went to Nazareth where He was raised, and then later to Capernaum. But He comes into to Nazareth, and He goes in as was His custom. Come on, amen. As was His custom, He went into the synagogue and He stood up to read, and they delivered not by accident. Keep that in mind. Not by accident. I believe He asked for the book of the prophetic word of Isaiah, the prophetic book of Isaiah. And He takes the prophetic book and He turns to what we've canonized as chapter 61. I believe it wasn't by accident. He knew where He wanted to read. He knew what He wanted to say. And He reads what we read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He hath anointed me. Woo! And He sits down and they're all looking at Him. And He says this. He says, this day. I want it known this day. I want it known by everybody from today forward. From this day forward, this day forward forever and ever. This prophetic word of Isaiah has been fulfilled before your ears. Woo! How many of you understand what He's saying? He's saying, I am. I am. I am the Messiah. I am the Christ. I am the Son of God. I am the Lamb of God that has come to redeem mankind. He's declaring once and for all, the gospel of the kingdom has come. The good news has arrived. Ooh, that ought to make you shout. He's saying God's love no longer has boundaries. Ooh. It's no longer bound up in the law. It's no longer bound up in some legalistic obedience. It's no longer bound up in sacerdotalism. It's no longer bound up in some human intermediary between God and man. But now, this gospel, this love of God is for whosoever will, because the Messiah has come. The Savior has come. We have been redeemed, and we no longer are bound. Let me come over here where they know how to shout. They ought to be running the aisles. Because it means we don't have to live under sin anymore. We don't have to live under Satan anymore. We no longer live under the judgment of God on sin anymore. We can have a relationship with the Father. And the reason I said, let me get on to where I'm going to preach. That was just shout. It wasn't by accident. It's because I believe Jesus was trying to teach us about the gospel. He was trying to teach us some things about the gospel. That's why He picked Isaiah 61. That's why He picked the prophetic word of Isaiah and read from there. He was trying to teach us concerning the gospel. There's three things I want to share with you quickly this morning. Number one, He characterizes here, Jesus does, He characterizes the gospel as both word and deed. He characterizes the gospel as both word and deed. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach. He says, this is a word. This gospel is a word that must be proclaimed. It must be heralded. It is a word that must be preached. It is word. But then he also says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal, to restore, and to liberate. He says, it is also deed. It is also a word. It's not just a word, but it is a deed that must be demonstrated. And you hear me now. He's not saying that it's word one day and deed the next. He's not saying it's deed one day and word the next. He's saying it's word and deed. That is proclamation and demonstration. That it is a union. That it is a marriage. That it is a partnership. That they are both equal aspects in what the gospel is all about. Come on now. Same thing he was telling John's disciples. You remember when John was in prison and he got some bad info. And so he sends his disciples to go to Jesus. And they say, Jesus, John sent us. Are you the one? Or should we look for another one? John's gotten some bad information here, but he wants to know for sure. Are you the one? And Jesus said, well, where is my Assembly of God credential? Not. Jesus said, you go tell John that the lame walk. You go tell John that the blind see. You go tell John that the dead are being raised up. You go tell John this gospel is being preached. Are you hearing me, church? He said, you go tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. How many of you know this gospel's not just to be heard, it's to be seen and heard. Come on. It's proclamational and demonstrational. He said, you go tell John, I'm representing the gospel in word and deed. I was in Madagascar. My wife and I were preaching and preached in the streets, and 300 people got saved. Somebody say amen. And I mean in the streets, I mean in the street. Cars, bicycles, motorcycles, everything. People. And so they started inviting us into homes to pray for the sick. And so we went into this one home where they said there was a young woman. My wife went first, and just a little simple cardboard pallet house in the middle of inner city nastiness and very small and humble. She went in first, and I came, and there was just enough room for the pastor and interpreter, and actually the missionaries that we were working with couldn't even get in the door. They were standing at the door. And so my wife reached over and laid hands on this young woman, and as soon as she started laying hands on her, all of a sudden I heard a commotion behind me, and I thought it was the missionaries praying. That's what I thought. I thought, boy, we're going to have church. These missionaries are with us here. And then all of a sudden I got kicked in the back. And I realized something else was going on, and I turned around, and as I turned around, I realized the problem in the house was not the sick daughter. The problem in the house was the demon-possessed mama. And as soon as we had started praying, that demonic power and spirit began to manifest. And when I turned around, the interpreter was standing there, Pastor, and his eyes was about this big. And I realized he wasn't going to be any help. And so I just turned to that woman, and I don't speak Malagasy, but I just said, peace. In the name above all names, I said peace. And when I said peace, all of a sudden that demon spirit took off out the door. She fell to the ground. We picked her up. I talked to her for a few minutes, and she received Jesus Christ into her life, and old things passed away, and all things became new, and she was transformed. And when the interpreter saw that demon go on out the door, his eyes got twice as big. You see, sister, he was one of those people that had heard but not seen. He is one of those people that had all the cognitive understanding. They had all the intellectual. They knew all the theology and all the creeds and all the quote the scripture, but they'd never seen the power of God. Come on. And so he gets on the phone, and he starts calling. I didn't know who he was calling. We got back to where the church was meeting, and there were people everywhere. He'd been calling his family because, you see, he had never really had an encounter with God. And I went up to him, and I laid hands on him and prayed with him, and the power of God touched him. And then I laid hands on his father-in-law. His father-in-law began to manifest a demonic spirit. We cast out the spirit, and all of a sudden, revival. Come on. This gospel This gospel is proclamational and demonstrational. Come on. This gospel is not just word, but it's word and deed. If all we're giving is word, we're not doing anything but having a motivational seminar on Sunday morning. Come on. This generation's tired of the talk. They're looking for the walk. Come on. If people are going to put their faith in God, you see, faith is not just believing. The demons believe. Matter of fact, Jesus in this chapter rebukes the demons because they knew who he was. Demons believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is believing, but it's also the evidence of things not seen. Come on. It's believing and being convinced. And it's time for this generation to have a demonstration that convinces them. Come on. It's time for them to have word and deed. Say amen, now go on. I knew y'all ready for me. Go on. Number two. My watch is broken, so I'm in trouble. So, battery went out this morning and I left it. My wife told me to take my phone and it's up there. It's up there. Number two, Jesus characterizes the gospel here not only as word and deed, Pastor, but he characterizes the gospel as empowered by the Holy Ghost. Pentecost Sunday, empowered by the Holy Ghost. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach, to heal, to restore, and liberate. Now, do they know who we're talking about here? We're talking about Jesus, right? We're talking about Messiah, Savior, Lamb of God. We're talking about first, last, Alpha, Omega, King, Kings, Lord of Lords. We're talking about, at this point in the text, God made flesh and dwelling amongst us. God in flesh. This is who we're talking about. We're talking about God in flesh. And God in flesh says, upon reception, upon being baptized in the Holy Ghost, upon receiving the Holy Ghost, it affected his anointing. Did you catch that? In other words, he's saying, I don't heal in my divinity. I don't liberate in my divinity. I don't restore in my divinity. I don't preach in my divinity. I preach and I heal and I restore and I liberate in the power and the anointing of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit himself. Oh, come on, church. That's what this chapter is all about. In the power of the Spirit, Jesus comes to Galilee. In the power of the Spirit, he preaches. Oh, shalabalabonai, in the temple. And they're so convicted, they take him out to throw him off a cliff. And in the power of the Spirit, he just walks in the midst of them and says, can you touch this? In the power of the Spirit, he goes into Peter's house and his mother-in-law is sick of a fever. And he rebukes the fever and it's gone. In the power of the Spirit, they bring all the sick and all the sick are healed. They bring all the demon-possessed and all the demons are cast out. In the power of the Spirit. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, same power. Look at your other neighbor and say, same Spirit. Same power. Same Spirit, same power, same Spirit that Pastor read about on the day of Pentecost. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall receive power to be witnesses unto me in all the earth. Oh, come on, church. I don't have time, but Pastor and I were talking about this morning. It's interesting to me at the beginning of that chapter, Pastor, where at the beginning where we read, in the power of the Spirit, it says, there in verse 14, it says, and his fame went out, and he was glorified by all. It's interesting to me that contrary to many popular Pentecostal church methodologies today, that the Holy Ghost didn't offend anybody. The Holy Spirit didn't run anybody off. The manifestation of the power of God on Jesus did not run anybody or scare anybody. You know what it did? It brought glory, because the Holy Ghost glorifies Christ. It brought attention. It drew people. Come on now, church. On Pentecost Sunday 2019, it's time for you and I to realize that what this generation is looking for is, they're looking for a real God. They're looking for the power and the anointing of our God to be manifest in their life. And it's time to be a Pentecostal, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. What time is it? Ooh, y'all are in trouble. I should skip this maybe. Real quick. I was in Toluca, Mexico, preaching in a tent. Little 8-year-old girl been hanging around the tent all day. And the altar call came the first night. She comes forward and gives her heart to Jesus, 8 years old. And we prayed for her, and the power of God hit her. And she fell out in the presence of the Lord there on the ground. Well, just a few minutes later, I hear a woman screaming because somebody done gone and told mama. And mama's coming screaming, "What's going on with my baby? What you done to my baby? What you done to my child?" And a bunch of the ladies got around her and grabbed her and said, "Well, your child's just being touched by Jesus. She's just in the presence of God. And Jesus wants to touch you and change your life." And after they talked to her for a few minutes, she said the sinner's prayer, and she received Jesus as her Savior, and we prayed for her, and she fell out on the ground beside her daughter. A few minutes later, I look up, and here comes Daddy. But Daddy's drunk, and Daddy's staggering all across that property, and he's mad, and he's got fire in his eyes, and he doesn't know what's happened to his family, and his fists are clenched, and he's coming angry and mad and ready to attack somebody, and just hitting a demonic rage, drunk, staggering across the property. And he comes in the tent, and he's looking at me. Come on. He coming for me. Let me tell you something, church. I don't have time to tell this. Well, I want to, but let me tell you something. When you're going up against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, let me just say something. If you don't think every day in America we're facing that same kind of demonic activity, you're lying to yourself, and you got your head in the sand. We're in warfare. We're coming up against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. It's time to realize we're in a battle against the powers of hell. And when you're in the battle against hell, when you're up against demonic spirits and powers and demon-possessed people, let me tell you something. They're not interested in 10 steps to how to prosper in the latest Christian book. Come on. They don't care how many counseling techniques you throw at them. Come on. He was looking at me, coming at me. And let me tell you, when you're in the battle, you better have the power and the anointing of God. And I looked at him and I said, "In Jesus' name." And when I said Jesus' name, he staggered backwards. And all of a sudden he went cold sober. And he looked at me stunned. And I said, "Sir, what's happened to your family is what just happened to you. The presence and power of God is here. God wants to change your life. He wants to transform you." I talked to him. He said the sinner's prayer. I laid hands on him, and he laid out on the ground. And, oh, come on now. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit. Number three, real quick. Characterized as word and deed, and he characterizes it as empowered by the Holy Ghost. This gospel is proclamational, demonstrational. This gospel is Pentecostal gospel. And then he characterizes it as life-changing. And I started to say life-giving. But I like life-changing. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach, but also to heal, to restore, to liberate." He's saying lives will be changed. Lives will be changed. This gospel is Pentecostal. This gospel is proclamational, demonstrational, but it is also transformational. We were in southern Argentina not too long ago preaching. We got a church project going on down there. And I was preaching first in the Bible school, and then we were headed down to Rio Gallegos, where we're planting a church right now. Matter of fact, I just got back from Gabon just a week before my father-in-law died.
I thank the Lord that I didn't really want to go, but my wife said go, and I went because I knew he was in bad shape. But I got back, and he had one more cognitive day after I got back. I thank the Lord for that. Because that's what we do. We go. Any way we can empty hell and fill heaven, anything to do with evangelism, church planting and crusades and whatever it is, it's what we do. And we're not fooling anybody. That's why I'm here. I need your help. I need your prayers. I need your money. I need your help. I need you standing with us. We can't do it without the church. We're just arms of the church. We're just your arms. And we need your help, but we're preaching in the Bible school, and they brought to us a young woman. I call her young. I've known her for some 40 years now, 30 years. We knew her when she was just a teenage girl. We were young missionaries. We arrived, and she was just a teenager. We knew her when she met a young man at a Bible school, and they got married, and they came and took a little church, isolated church, not far from where we were living in southern Argentina, and because they were so young and such a tough place, they'd come just about every Friday night and stay the night at our house, and Liz would cook for them, and we'd just kind of love on them. And they became like our older children. They really did. They had a very familiar relationship with them. And they left there, and they'd gone and to an even more isolated area and planted another church. And after that church was going, they even went to another more isolated place and planted another church. And I'm not trying to make excuses, but in that process, the young man got into some false doctrine and theology. And because she had been raised in a preacher's home, she was a preacher's kid, she knew theology. It caused a rift in their marriage. And that rift developed into abuse, first verbal and then physical abuse. And for years, she lived as the pastor's wife, being abused by the pastor. After years of abuse, she believed one day of the lie of the devil and thought her only way out, pastor, was suicide, and she tried to take her life, but God's grace was sufficient, and he sent some angels along, and they saved her, and her parents went and got her and brought her, and they came bringing her down. They knew we were in the Bible school, and they knew the relationship we'd had for so many years. They brought her down for us to minister to, and she came in the door. I went running to her because she was like my daughter, you know. And I went running to her, and when I got to her, she rejected me. And I looked at her face, and her face was just cold, stone hard, and demonic spirit, and all kinds of hurts and scars and wounds and junk just binding her up. And I'm going to tell you, sister, I didn't know what to do. I'd expected something else. And I knew I was supposed to minister, but I didn't know how. And I thought, well, I'm a preacher, you know. I'm going to preach tonight here at the Bible school, and she'll hear and she'll come. And it's not by might. It's not by good preaching. Come on. And I preached, and she didn't come. She didn't move. I didn't know what I was going to do, but the altar was packed with young people from the Bible school, and I began to pray and minister. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, have her come pray with these kids. She needs prayer! What do you mean? And the Holy Spirit said again, have her come. And so I said, sister, would you come help me pray? And she did. She came up, and she began to lay hands on these young people. And that's when the Holy Spirit gave opportunity. And I came up beside her and I put my hands on her. And I just said, in Jesus' name. And when I did, pastor, the power of God hit her. And she went flying backwards. And she hit me so hard that we were both laying on the floor side by side. And I looked over at her and she looked over at me. And she said, Brother Steve. She said, Brother Steve, who poured oil on me? Who poured oil on me? Who poured oil on me? And I raised my hand over on her again, and I prayed, and the power of God just took her, and she laid there on the floor for over 30 minutes. And when she got up, she came running and she threw her arms around me. You see, that demonic power had been broken. The powers of hell were gone. The scars had been healed. And she put her arms around me, hugged me like she always had. This gospel changes lives. This gospel transforms lives. This gospel is not just some sociological, economic lift. This gospel changes. Old things pass away and all things become new. It makes new creatures. Stand with me so I'll be quiet. Please stand. Have some help on the instrument, brother. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service to the kingdom. Hallelujah. I would be amiss if on this Pentecost Sunday I didn't give opportunity. I know we've already prayed for needs, but if you're here this morning and you need an experiential encounter with Jesus, maybe there's someone listening to me right now and you've never really experienced an encounter with Jesus Christ. You may have all the cognitive understanding. You may know theology better than I do. You may know all the scriptures and all the creeds and all the stuff, but you've never really had one of those encounters with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in which all that old stuff passes away and everything becomes new, in which you're transformed, where you're taken out of a life of death and bondage and sin and totally transformed by Jesus Christ. You're here this morning and you don't know Jesus. You're living bound up in an addiction, bound up in all the garbage of hell. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to be bound. Satan doesn't have to reign in your life anymore. Because Jesus is here. If you need Jesus to change your life, you need Jesus to transform you, just a moment, I'm going to give you opportunity. I'm just going to say, come. If you're here this morning and you're facing a family problem or circumstance in your marriage or your home or your children, He restores. He's a restorer, He said. I restore sight unto the blind. And he wasn't just talking about physical blindness. He was talking about spiritual. He restores what the cankerworm has eaten. If you're bound and you need liberty, or if you're here and you need restoration,